Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Elon Musk podcast. This is a show where we discuss the critical crossroads that shape SpaceX, Tesla, X, The Boring Company, and Neuralink. And I'm your host, Will Walden. If you want uninterrupted episodes of the Elon Musk podcast, please go to clubelon.supercast.com to find out how. There's a link in the show notes. And today's episode is about the Starship IFT-4 flight, and also subsequent flights after that. We saw the success of IFT-1, IFT-2, and the most successful flight so far, IFT-3. They did some interesting things in IFT-3. One of them is the hatch, which is used for Starlink satellites. That's, they open up the hatch like a Pez dispenser, shoot out Starlink satellites into orbit, and then, well, they cash in on those satellites because it's a service that SpaceX provides to rural areas where people can't get high-speed internet. And this hatch door was, it kind of went okay. I talked about it in the last video. It was okay. It had a little hiccup while it was closing. But altogether, it was a success. Now, that's important because we have to talk about something that Gwynne Shotwell talked about, who is the COO of SpaceX, works hand in hand with Elon Musk, knows exactly what's going on with Starship at all times. And she just recently was on a panel on the satellite conference. And something really interesting, she said, so this is a timeline for IFT-4. She said, SpaceX will be ready to launch in about 6 weeks. That's a month and a half. That's really fast. Most of these launches take half a year, 4 to 5 months. If they can be ready in 6 weeks, this is going to be incredible because Elon Musk has talked about having 9 launches of Starship this year. And if they can turn these around in a month and a half, I can see that actually happening. This is a huge deal because before they only had clearance to do 5 launches per year. And now they're trying to up the ante to 9. Next year, they're probably going to go up to 30, knowing SpaceX, and building on the success of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're going to keep building on all of the successes of these Starship launches going forward. So she says right now that the teams are still reviewing the data from IFT-4, and that also, remember the bay door, the hatch door, they're not going to have satellites on board IFT-4. I thought they were going to do maybe a dummy satellite on IFT-4. I knew they were going to do another hatch test, but I wasn't sure about the about some dummy satellites. That's where I was kind of conflicted because they have so many other things that they have to take care of, so many other things that they have to work on, including possibly another propellant transfer. I'm not 100% sure about that because we don't have the data from the propellant transfer. They said it's successful, but was it 100% successful or was it 99% successful? We're not 100% sure. So are they going to be doing another transfer, a propellant transfer for IFT-4? Possibly. Just to make sure that they can use that for the Artemis program. And if you're not familiar, the Artemis program is NASA's next program to send people to the surface of the moon. Very important thing. And SpaceX will be landing those people using the HLS Starship. So this propellant transfer is super important because they have to transfer propellant in orbit from a tanker Starship to a flying moon Starship, a lunar Starship, the HLS Starship, which they will land on the surface of the moon with astronauts on it. Then they'll do science all over the place on the moon. So it's going to be, it's up in the air about the propellant transfer, but it's possible. Now, since Gwynne said 6 weeks, we know that we could possibly get a bunch of Starlink and Starship flights this year. I don't know when they're going to start launching Starlinks, but more than likely at the end of the year. But Gwynne said that the goal of the Starship this year is to reach orbit, deploy satellites, and recover both stages. So that means they're building the second tower at Starbase right now. I believe that's going to be the catch tower. Right now, they cannot. There's no way. There's no reason for them to use the current tower as a catch tower. Anything that happens to their launch tower right now, it's going to set them back a year, 6 months to a year. So there's no reason for them to do that. What they have to do is build on the success of the Tower 1 for the Tower 2, build it out so there's just catch capabilities, make sure that the catching is perfect, and then from there, launch from Tower 1, catch on Tower 2, transfer the booster back to the production facility, scrub it off, get it ready for the next launch, fix up whatever needs to be fixed. Same with the ship, full orbit, come back down to Starbase, Texas. It's going to be impressive when they catch, one, a 250-foot tall booster, huge, bigger, like wider than your house. Think about your house right now. How long does it take you to do a lap around that? That's as big as a Starship. It's 30 feet in diameter, 9 meters. It's a gigantic thing. Also 250 feet tall. It's massive. The thing is a skyscraper, and they're going to be landing this at Starbase, Tower number 2. Now, according to Gwynne, they're going to recover both stages. Now, if they're going to be doing a tower catch, they're going to have to really speed up Tower 2's production. They could possibly get it done in 6 months, possibly. But it might be later this year. So what they're going to do in that meantime is they're going to land the booster precisely in the Gulf of Mexico. They're going to orbit the Starship and possibly land the Starship precisely, maybe in the Gulf of Mexico, but more than likely not. They have a bunch of, and the FAA did an environmental review for the subsequent launches of Starship, IFT 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and all of them were going to be landing in the Indian Ocean. So we have a little bit of information about that. And right now, we know that it's not expected for the ship to survive the landing in the Indian Ocean. It's probably going to break up in orbit. It's probably going to burn up, or something is going to happen and it's going to blow up in the Indian Ocean. The FAA had to take care of that. They had to work with SpaceX, and they had to work together to figure out if it's going to cause any damage to the Indian Ocean. And what they found out is that it's not going to do any damage. Not much damage, actually. Most of the ship will sink to the bottom of the ocean, and the wildlife, the sea creatures, the fish, etc., will not be harmed. So from what we know right now, SpaceX is going to do a bunch of launches this year, possibly a catch, land in the Indian Ocean with the ship, land in the Gulf of Mexico with a booster, and I believe IFT 4 or 5, they're probably going to do a successful booster landing. They looked really great last time. They're really close. So I'm assuming what they can do with hardware and software, they probably upgraded the hardware in the booster and software upgrades as well. So they could more than likely land the booster in the Gulf of Mexico, soft landing in IFT-4 or IFT-5. And then the ship is going to take them a little bit longer. So I'm assuming IFT-6, 7, maybe 8, but getting reentry nailed is very important as well. Very, very important. So Starship has to get the reentry and the orbit down pat before they can do a soft landing. And once they get the reentry and the deorbit figured out, then the reentry and the deorbit will lead them into the Gulf of Mexico, or not the Gulf, into the Indian Ocean softly. Right now, it's going to blow up. Like, that's where we're at right now. This thing's going to blow up, and we know it's going to be a RUD. It's going to be a rapid, unscheduled. Actually, it might be a scheduled disassembly, but the rapid unscheduled disassembly. But they may schedule it by blowing it up on purpose because they may run out of fuel or, you know, whatever it is at this point. But they need to get it in orbit. That's what they plan on doing. That's what Shotwell said. So we're looking forward to the IFT-4 flight And we're looking forward to, I want to know what you think about it. What you think about Gwen talking about this. 6 weeks? Do you think it's possible? And this isn't Elon time that we're talking about. Elon time is like, when he says 6 weeks, we're like, okay, dude. 6 weeks? All right, bro. We're thinking more like, if he says 6 weeks, we're like, 4 months? Elon, bro. Does he own a watch? I don't know. Let me know what you think in the comments down below. But Gwen says 6 weeks. The teams are working on the data from IFT3. And they're working now. SpaceX is also working with the FAA, because there was a, you know, after the IFT3 flight, things blew up and there's an incident report. SpaceX has to work with the FAA in order to fix the things that went wrong. And then the FAA has to tell them, okay, cool. Good job. Good job fixing the things that blew up or something wasn't working properly. So good job. Do that. And then IFT4 will be cleared for flight once the FAA gives them a flight license. So lots of things happening at Starbase. Lots of testing happening in the next 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. And if Gwen is going to be right about the 6 weeks thing, they're going to rush this thing through. There's going to be some cryo tests. There's going to be some pressure tests. There's going to be some static fires of the booster and the ship. Everything is going to be bonkers for the next month. And there's going to be a lot of activity down there.
Hey, thank you so much for listening today. I really do appreciate your support. If you could take a second and hit the subscribe or the follow button on whatever podcast platform that you're listening on right now, I'd greatly appreciate it. It helps out the show tremendously, and you'll never miss an episode. And each episode is about 10 minutes or less to get you caught up quickly. And please, if you want to support the show even more, go to patreon.com/stagezero. And please take care of yourselves and each other, and I'll see you tomorrow.